I want to bring you a little lesson on what to do when trial comes. You say, that's kind of odd. Yes, it is. And the reason I talk on it, and I want to introduce this message to you tonight, is because so many folks, good people too, they just don't know what to do when trial comes. The devil wouldn't get so many folks back in the world if they just know what to do when they was having difficulty. You hear me? Now the Bible said concerning Satan, we're not ignorant of his devices. We know how the devil works.
Yeah.
And I'm here to try to keep you from going back in the world. And if you're a sinner and you don't know anything about God, well, you need to know this, because if you ever come with us, you're going to need to know what to do when trial comes. If you ever get sick or come up with a problem, well, you need to know what to do when trial comes. If you're having difficulty at home or on the job or anywhere else, in school, you need to know what to do when the test is there.
Yes.
That's the truth. There's no need for anybody going through and struggling and not knowing what way to turn. It's a shame. It's a shame. But the devil doesn't want you to know what to do. But I believe I found right here in this 20th chapter, God's answer. God's answer to the problems that confront the Christian. And this is the way out. If you want to get out of the darkness, out of the dilemma that confronts or surrounds you, this is it. This is it. It tells you what to do. And so by the help of God tonight, we'll get through this little message here, and we'll see if we can't find a point or two to consider. And I trust that the Holy Ghost can bring it back to your mind, your memory, when you're going and you're wading through a trial. It's not easy to be a Christian. My little girl that passed on just a year ago Tuesday, her and her sister just younger used to sing a song, "It's Not an Easy Road." It's not an easy road. And that little thing just suffered all her life, born with a large intestine misplaced. And she went into rickets because she couldn't assimilate to food. Just one thing, she'd have strokes and go paralyzed, go blind for a couple of weeks and couldn't see. And maybe half of her body couldn't use her hand or her leg or something like that. She finally got so bad. And just standing in the hall, fell down and broke her leg there in three places and wouldn't heal, because the glands wouldn't work and no calcium there. And she'd get in a little old wheelchair and we'd roll her on up toward the pulpit and she'd sing a song, "It's Not an Easy Road."
Yeah.
And it's just not, folks. You just might as well face it. It's not easy.
Come on.
It's not an easy road from here to heaven, but it's all right because you're going to have Jesus by your side.
Praise the Lord.
You got him by your side, that's all that counts anyhow, isn't it?
That's all.
That's all. And God didn't tell me that I wouldn't have a little that I would never have a trial. I'd never meet with difficulty. He didn't say that.
No.
He went up to Apostle Peter one time, who was a heap better man than you and I ever will be. You can just put that down in your black book and underline it, please.
Sure.
We don't measure up to him. All of us together don't make one of him.
Uh-huh.
That's true. And I know it's easy for you and I to sit down and pick out his flaws, but if the Holy Ghost was writing the Bible today, brother, don't you forget ours would be down in that book too. And there'd be a whole lot more in his flaws. Can you say, man?
That's the truth.
It sure would. I'd rather it be written like it was.
Yes,
we can read about his.
Yes,
isn't that all right?
All right.
We can read about his. But all right. And you know, as I begin to study that, I see one time where Jesus came up to the Apostle Peter there, and he said, "Now, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired thee, now that he might sift you as wheat." And that was it. Now, he said, "Now, the devil looking after you, Simon." But he said, "Nevertheless, I have prayed for thee." Brother, when Jesus starts praying for you, you better just kind of take courage, because things are going to be a whole lot better.
Yeah.
I've prayed for you. I've had a whole lot of folks praying for me I didn't have too much confidence in.
Yeah.
But when you get somebody who knows God praying for you, you just kind of take heart. Just like an old withered grass, brother, when the rain comes, you stand straight up again. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I have prayed for you. He didn't pray. He didn't pray that he'd never miss a meal.
No.
He didn't care if he was hungry. God don't care if you go hungry, brother, to learn the lessons that you got to learn, as some things have to break you down. He didn't say, I pray you never get a headache or a heartache. He had a whole lot of those. And I've noticed as I've stood around sick beds and gone into rooms where folks are really in rough shape, so many people question God, but don't ever let your heart question God. You hear me? You just try to understand, God, what is the lesson you want me to know through all of this? Now, the first thing I want you to look at here is the test. The test is going to come. You just put that down on your margin, the test. And that's going to come. Now, he said, I pray for you. And he didn't say, I'm going to pray that you'll always have 1,000 in Sunday school. If anybody deserved it, Peter did. He did, but Jesus didn't say, I'm going to give you 1,000. And I'll give you the best chariot, the prettiest white horse in the country. Didn't pray like that. Not that he didn't deserve it. And God doesn't mind you having some nice things. But listen, he's not always praying that you will have that. Somebody said, oh, well, I've paid my tithes. I have too. And there's a lot of times I've paid my tithes and gone hungry. Somebody said, pay your tithes and never miss a meal. I don't know about that. I paid my tithes and gone hungry. He said, what did you do? I said, thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Thank you, Jesus. That's God. I've seen weeks in my house. All we had there was just nothing. Beans for breakfast, beans for supper, that's all beans. No salt, no pork, nothing to put in it, nothing. I've seen all the times you had nothing but soup, pea soup. I had that for breakfast and supper, so my children still won't eat peas. And they look at that, and when that finally give out, boy, we didn't have anything. And I wish we had the pea soup back again then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You say, well, oh yeah, I've been so hard up, brother, that's the truth. I've even walked down the street, though. Oh, God, maybe somebody dropped a dime in some place. I didn't have any money. Cardboard in the shoes. That's all right. Don't mind it. And do it again if I had to, and God knows I would.
Yeah.
You hear me, please?
Thank God.
Jesus did not pray that we would never go hungry. And No. And somebody said, well, I don't know, I've never had any tests like that. God lets folks be tested along different lines.
Sure.
Some folks are tested along, you know, a temptation of the flesh, and some here of the spirit, and some have temptations financially, and some sexually, and some according to the proud spirit they have. There's different ways to be affected. And God knows what you can be tempted by. And there's other temptations that he knows you'd never stand up to, so he don't let certain things come against you. But he said, I have prayed that your faith won't fail you. And I just hope and pray that you'll be true enough to God and close enough to God tonight that when the test comes, that you won't go down underneath it. Learn this thing, that there's no temptation that's ever come your way, but that God permits it to come. I know the devil might bring a lot of it, but God allows it to come.
Yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
And the fact that God allows it to come, he knows you can take it. But just as sure as God made little green apples, you're going to be tested.
Jesus.
And the body that's going to make the city is going to be tested.
Yeah.
God don't want anybody in this kingdom that has not been tested. Now, you drive an automobile that's been tested before you ever bought it.
Yeah.
I live right near the Studebaker Proving Ground. And they got washboard roads. I don't know why they need to take them out there. They can drive down any road in South Bend and feel that. That's the sorriest roads in Indiana. And I don't know, they're getting a new mayor, but I don't think he'll do much more. And they can test them right down on my street.
Yeah.
That's true. Just drive down my street. Of course, there's a Pentecost church on that street. Now, they will fix it up. 5 blocks down to the Catholic church, it has the smoothest road in town. But on my street, it's just dirt. They won't even put pavement on it. No, I'm saying, but let's listen to me. They'll put that through water holes. And they got a track, and they'll make it go round and around on that proven ground to see how fast it'll go and how long it'll run. And they'll stick water hoses at it and under pressure and see if it'll leak here, there, or anywhere. Now that's to prove that automobile.
Yes.
And they put thousands of miles on those cars. And then when you get those cars, why, they're already proven. My God's going to have a group of folks that have stood the test. This is going to be a proven people. You hear what I'm telling you? This is going to be a proven people. And when God's little man went up to meet a giant one time, he couldn't go with Saul's armor on, but he came in the name of the Lord. And he came with faith in Jehovah. And he just couldn't come with sword or spear, but he came with a slingshot because that was a proven way.
Yes, sir.
And he could throw it in the name of his God. And so, tonight, I want us to look at this little message here. Notice here in verse 1 of chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now here we have a test. This man had made an alliance one time with Ahab.
Yeah.
And he got in trouble. I said he got in trouble. As a matter of fact, he was rebuked by a preacher. And he was told, you're not doing what you ought to be doing. And if you look over here in the 19th chapter, please, and look at verse number 3 in our study tonight.
Yeah.
Notice what he said now. In verse 2, it told him that you shouldn't be helping the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon me from before the Lord. Now here's what he says. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. See? In that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God.
Glory.
Now you today, you this evening would love to have a visitation from God and you would seek a revival. But I want to tell you upon the authority of God's Word. No church can ever have a real lasting move of God until their hearts have been prepared to seek God.
Yes.
God's not going to cram anything down our throats.
Oh,
if I know anything at all about God, there must be some preparation before God comes down and takes over. Now here's what he says. Now, we got the enemy coming out against this fella, and the enemy's coming real strong, and now he's not going to join up with Ahab. You know, that's why I appreciate good leadership in a church. Now, when I see how careful God's man is as he takes the sheep and leads them along, I say, thank God for that. I just want to say something. You can't just find a good leader in it, any place. I mean that has the people of God on his heart. You don't always classify a good preacher as a good leader. But I mean a man that's got the people of God on his heart and cares for their souls and watches for them. Those kind of people are hard to find. And hear me.
Right.
Hear me. Jehoshaphat was told that a great multitude was coming against him, you know. And then he sees the test is coming. And I want you to know suddenly the devil's going to come up against every living last one of us. And we're going to be tested.
Yes.
You're going to have a trial.
Yes.
You're going to meet with difficulty. You're going to face a battle against sin or Satan. You're going to fight the flesh. You're going to fight the world. You're going to fight the devil. Amen. But you're going to have to know what to do when trial comes.
Amen.
If you've ever been in the Army, Navy, Marines, wherever you were in time of war, before you got out there, they give you some kind of directions. Yes, it did. They told you, now this is a cannon here, and the bullet comes out this end, right here. They had to show you what it's all about. And they had to show you the art of defense, and they had to show you what they wanted done. And you're going to have to know what to do when the trial comes. And God don't want his people to run around, and he don't want them to quit. If you've ever read anything in the Bible about the Christian soldier, you found that he had an armor on.
Yeah.
And if you'll know, he had a helmet on, and brother, when he put that little played down. He just had two slits for his eyes. And you couldn't even hardly stick a sword in there. He just little slits and he could see you. And you could laugh in his face, but you couldn't cut it. And he had the breastplate on there. And brother, you could throw that old spear at him, but it'll deflect it. And he had, if he ever got that far, because he had a big shield in front of him. And he had something on his knees, and he had that mail all over him, and on his arms here, and the gauntlet there. And oh, and he had that big old sword in his hand, and he just hew and hack with that. But there was one thing about, you know, all this. And Paul was taking this little allegory, this little type here, from the Roman uniform. But when that Roman soldier turned around, this was all laced together in the back. And the only spot where you could get that Roman soldier was when he turned his back to you. And when God's people turn their back to the devil and to the world, that's when they begin to get killed and go down. There's not enough devils that ever crawl out of the black pit of hell that can get you down if you'll stand up and fight the good fight of faith. You hear what I'm telling you tonight? There's not enough devils that will turn you around if you'll just fight like God told you to fight. But you've got to know what to do when trial gets here. Now notice again. Notice over here. Verse 3. Look at this. And I want you to look here. This is the groundwork for a revival. Praise the Lord. Here's the groundwork that's laid. You know, when the test gets here, you're going to have to start checking back. Don't you get out and criticize God because something's happened to you that didn't happen to the other fellow. Here's what he did. And Jehoshaphat feared. You know, the biggest thing that I see need of in our ranks today is a whole lot more fear of God. The Bible said concerning the world, there is no fear of God in their eyes. But my book tells me that Noah was moved with fear.
Yes.
We need to fear God.
Yes.
We need to fear Him when we come in the house of God. We need to fear lest we fail God. We need to fear lest we fall short of the promises of God and we can't enter into that rest that He has prepared for us. There is not enough godly fear and holy reverence in our midst like there ought to be. I mean that. And here, he feared and set himself. You know, it's always easy to set the other fellow.
Yeah.
But he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all the land of Judah. Hear this?
Mm-hmm.
And Judah... All these people were all together, and he proclaimed the fast. When you begin to see the trial coming up against you, the first thing you need to do is just start getting ready for God to do something. My God's not going to cram victory down anybody's throat.
Yeah.
If you want this thing, you're going to have to pay the price to get it. But there's no excuse to backslide or grow cold or give up, because God's got a way for you to have victory. God's got the way for you to get the power. My God's got the way for you to walk back down in the light as He's in the light. You don't have to hang your head or tuck your head, brother, because God's got the guts to see you through. Here he says, he got down and he proclaimed the fast. And he began to fear. And he started to seek the Lord. Well, as somebody starts seeking God, they're on the right road.
Yeah.
But you know, I've noticed that if the old devil can get you to do something wrong, and he can trip you up, the first thing folks do is, well, God's the last fellow they want to see. I said, God's the last one they want to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
God's the last one they're going to explain things to. But I hope you've got some confidence in God where you'll be willing and ready to come to Him and tell Him all about it. If people that ever did a thing wrong would come to God right away and explain it to Him, they'd be a whole lot better off.
Amen.
But usually He's the last one we ever see.
It's true.
When nobody else can help us, we finally come crawling back and say, well, God, I guess you're all I got left now. Maybe you can do something with me. He's been waiting all the time. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
All right, now let's look here. Now let's talk a little bit about this. And let's see. Judah gathered gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. When you can get a group of people down praying and beginning to realize their need, brother, you've got God ready to move.
Amen.
I appreciate the old timers, and I am sorry that a lot of folks that started this Pentecostal message out in our generation, that they're not with us today. Even that little colored fella, Seymour, down there in Los Angeles, that stuck his head in an orange tree some of the times when he wasn't preaching, in Azusa Street, and the power of God was coming down, and he brought the Pentecostal experience to Los Angeles, where I was born and raised. That fellow, when more truth came, didn't even walk in the light. You see, in those days, they used to preach saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Three definite works of grace. But then when somebody said, well, you can get it all in one night, and Jesus' name baptism come, he wouldn't receive that. In other words, there's some folks that bring birth to a group of people, and they let them be born and walk on with God, and they themselves die in the wilderness.
Yeah.
It's a sad thing, but it's so anyhow.
Amen.
But here, when you can get all ready and begin to seek the Lord and ask help of God, then things are going to come down. Now let's notice here in verse number 5. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. You hear that? And he started to pray. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. I want you to notice where Jehoshaphat went. When he had a trial, and somebody said, everybody's coming against you. Everything's gone wrong. You're not running with Ahab anymore, but now all the worldly armies are out here, and they're going to sink us for sure. We can't stand up against him. Look at what this fellow did. He didn't run and hide. When he saw that the test was coming, and everything had gone against him, he went to God's house.
Yeah.
God have mercy on folks that are having a rough trial and when they start hanging out of the house of God. If you've got a heavy load, brother, you need church like nobody needs church. If nothing's turned out right for you, then if anybody needs to be in the house of God, you need to be in the house of God.
Amen.
And the reason folks backslide, when they do have a little test, they don't stay in God's house enough.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
No excuse for not being in the house of the Lord. If folks would stay in God's house, they wouldn't leave God's house. But somehow the devil tells them, well, don't go to church tonight. You've got a heartache or a headache or there's trial or this has gone wrong and nobody will understand. If you don't shout, they'll criticize you. Forget it. Brother, when the test comes like never before, you need to be in God's house.
Lord,
God knows. I might be a preacher, but that don't mean anything. Oh, I walked down the aisle and my soul was aching and I put on a fake smile. I didn't mean it, but I didn't want anybody to know what I had in here. And my feet were heavy. And my shoulders were kind of stooped under the burden that I had. I'm talking about it. But bless God, I was just like an old dog coming back to the master. You know, the master will give the old dog a stick and he'll throw it out there, bless God. And the little old pup will run and get it. And he'll wag his tails and his eyes are going to shine. And he's going to bring that stick back to his master and he'll throw it out again. No, say, and like an old whipped dog, when I run out there maybe doing this business and that business, and sometimes we don't come to God enough. Sometimes we don't lay down at His feet enough. Sometimes we need to come to Him and have Him kind of rub our fur a little bit and stretch our back a little bit. And so He throws a big old load out there and I gotta run like that dog with that stick back to my master, and I bring my burden to Him and I bring my him. And thank God I lay it down at His feet. And if you didn't have a trial once in a while, you'd never come to God. If you didn't have a burden once in a while, you'd never bend that knee. And you'd When it gets here, go to the house of God. And I've come just like you have. And I've sat there, oh yeah. Oh, I say, so sad. Church tonight, yes, church tonight. Well, let's give it one more round. Oh, things that just go along about so-so, and all of a sudden, hallelujah, that organ just seems to get a hold of you. Yeah. And that piano just seems to get a hold of you. And some little old body gets up and begins to sing a song. And somebody starts honking in tongue and running down the aisle. And bless God, your shoulders kind of get back.
Yeah.
And all your eyes begin to shine again. And the Holy Ghost begins to turn over in your soul. You know what I'm talking about tonight. You didn't feel like coming, but bless God, when you leave, you feel like you're ready for a one more round. Isn't that right, Saints? And that's because you stay in church. And you got to keep coming to church. You say, how long? Just as long as God lets you stay on this earth. You need the house of God. You need to feel the Spirit of God. You can't make it without this church. You can't be saved without this fellowship. Nobody ever made this by himself. You need God, people.
Glory.
Jesus isn't coming for me. Jesus isn't coming for you. He's coming for the body, the church. And if you will stay with that church or that body, you've got it made. You see, the way is predestinated. The way is, not the individual. There is a way to heaven and a way to hell. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. If you get with a bunch that is walking in the broad way, then your way is the way to hell. But if you're in the narrow way and the straight gate and you're walking there, then bless God, you're going with a group of people that call the bride, and Jesus is coming for that group. Stay with that group. You need the fellowship of that people. Listen to what they've got to say. They're ready to pray with you. God's man is ready to deal with you. Oh, say, and I know as long as we stay in church, we can get help from God.
Amen.
Here? And then notice over here, verse 6 and 7, he starts to pray a prayer. 6 and 7, notice here. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Now I want you to notice another point here. Let's call this identification. Identification. And art thou not our God? God likes his people to identify themselves with him. You hear what I'm telling you? When you start seeking God and you humble yourself before him, brother, he's glad to let everybody know that he's your master and he's your God. Art thou not our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Huh? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Well now, the name isn't so much just in the old building here, but we've got a God that used to dwell, brother, in the tabernacle called the tent there. Oh yes, and then finally in a building known as a temple. But we've got the great God of glory dwelling in the tabernacle of flesh down here now. And his name is right here. We're the Jesus name, people. Thank God we've been baptized in water in the name of the Lord. And you can just talk to your God. I say identify yourself with him. Son, if you've gone through the death, and you've gone through the burial, and you've gone through the resurrection with Jesus, identify yourself with him.
Yeah.
You know what I believe in telling God? When you have a trial, I want to tell you what to do. Your knees were made to bend. You know they bend? in case you haven't heard, your knees bent. And it's true. Actually, you can get down. You're taller on your knees than you are any other time. And you can see farther on your knees and through your tears than you can any other time.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you can. And then notice here, he starts talking to the Lord. And he says, now, hear God. He said, if evil comes, you know, this is what it says now in your book. You see, when Solomon dedicated that temple, he said, now, people here, if they ever do wrong, and the nations are coming against them, and they sin, and they've gone after heathen gods, if they'll repent, if they'll turn their back on the world, and if they'll get down and humble themselves, and all he said, I'll hear from heaven, and I'll bless them, I'll heal them. And oh, say, he said, then he said, no matter where they are, now just look to that temple. Why, he said, I'll deliver from all their afflictions. And that's what God told him. And that was in Solomon's prayer, you see. Well, here, we find that this man, Jehoshaphat, got down in God's house. But you had to tell him you wanted the Holy Ghost. Lord. He knew you wanted healing. But you had to tell him you wanted to be healed. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
God knows your need. He knows all about you, but he's waiting for you to tell him. You hear me? He's waiting for you to tell him all about it. He knows. He just wants you to know it. And so, they got down there, and this little king did, and he got down on bended knee, and he started to remind God all about his book. And I'll have you to know, there's many a time I just get out my Bible, and I get down and said, God, I want to show you what's in here. Come here, look here, God. I want to show you what's in the book. And just get out your pencil here, your pen, and underline it. He said, did you see what that said? Look at it, God. I didn't write it, but you did.
Yeah.
There's no need for anybody to say that you can't get the Holy Ghost. My Bible says you shall receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Didn't it say that?
Yeah.
If God said you shall, then brother, you underline that thing and you stick it right up there.
Yeah.
Here, God. There it says, you shall. You shall. The devil says, you shall not. Well, God says, shall. Shall. Well, I've repented. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Then the Bible said, I shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, died out with the apostles. You can't get it. God's a respected person. Ballester could have, but I can't. No, that's what the book says. It says, you shall. You shall. And when you begin to get down there and say, God, I want to remind you what the book says. That's all God's waiting for is for somebody to remind him what this book says. He wants you to see what this Bible says. He wants you to believe what this Bible says. And when you say, God, read it there, read it, God. There it is. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. That's in the book. It's in the book. There it is, God.
Yeah.
And you come against it over here? Well, I don't know. I said, I don't believe I can get healed anymore. I don't believe I could do it. I'm sick and I'll have to die. I tell you, I went praying the other day. And when I saw how anxious that fellow was, and he says, brother, God's just going to have to do something. You know, there's still some folks in Pentecost that's going to trust God or die.
Amen.
When I get around people like that, my heart is just smitten with conviction. Believe me, I'm not trying to be abusive to anybody that's ever gone to the dark. Believe me, I'm not. If folks went, I'd be the last one to criticize. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to damn anybody. I'm not going to abuse anybody. What I'm trying to tell you, saints, when somebody begins to stand on the promises of God, it just makes me get real small and say, God, help us all to reach out by faith and trust you for your promises again.
Amen.
I know everybody's working and on their job and giving all this hospitalization. It's so easy now to trust man instead of God.
Yeah.
But in the depression, didn't have any money, they had to trust God. That's all. Didn't have any money for a doctor. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You just have to. You just have to call on God. Somebody says, well, now I don't look at it that way. Well, maybe you don't, but I'm just kind of preaching my heart here to you tonight. But I will say this. When a person finally gets to the place and they're trying to trust God for the healing,
If there's anything in all of this Bible that just better start marking it over here, here's James 5 and 14. Oh, yes, if you get the elders anointed with oil and lay hands on the sick, and they're going to be well. And over here in Mark, they'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And over here in the book of John, bless God, 14 and 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Underline that. And when you get all done, say, there it is, God, I found it in the Bible, and bless God, I'm going to stand on it. This is your Bible. And I'm calling your attention to what you put down there. I didn't write this. I didn't dream this. I didn't think it up. This is God's Word. You said it, you said it, you said it. I want you to stand back. If you mean what you say, God, you stand right in back of this thing. And you know that's what God wants. He wants somebody to dare put him to the test. He wants somebody to step out of the promises. Thank God. And my God wants to work. And my God wants to move. But he's waiting for somebody. That would be a giant, thank God, in him and say, God said it, God said it. There it is, God, I'm going to stand by it. Remind God what he said. That's all right.
He said, well, I said, I got you in my hand. Didn't he say it?
Yeah.
Didn't he say it? He said, nobody can pluck you out of there. There's nobody going to pull me out of God's hand. No individual, no organization, no nation, no state, no spirit, no power. Nothing can get me out of God's hand. The only way I get out is if I take a jump out. And I don't want to stay in there. I'm the one that'll get out, and you're the one that'll get out. But if you walk with God and you come to the knowledge of salvation, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's no height, no depth. There's no darkness. There's no spirit. There's nothing in this world that can separate you from the love of God if you want to stay there.
Glory.
You can just point to the book and say, read it, God. This was written before I ever come around, and I'm going to bank on that. I'm putting my bottom dollar on that. I'm standing on that. Thank God, because God is bound by His Word. You hear me? God's bound by His Word. I had a meeting one time, and I went and got a document. There's one thing about it. When you got a legal document, brother, it talks loud.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
When it starts all this inasmuch and whereas business.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's it. Inasmuch and whereas and so on, first part, second part, and so on.
When you start getting all that down, you got it signed and dated and documented.
Well, everybody talking about it. Let me read something to you. Brother, that settled it all.
Yeah.
When I read that document, that's it. All right, case closed. This is all we want to know. We're gone and we can't fight back. That's the law. That's what it says. You hear me? Brother, you can know the devil can just wobble you around. I mean, he can just about make you quit. When you get God's legal document signed with his blood, and you begin to say, there it is. I got it. Praise God, my God's bound by that word. He's going to back it up. He's going to enforce it. He's got to. He's got to. He's got to. Well, now let's notice the progression here. This fellow wanted the move of God, and you want the move of God. The first thing he did, when the trial came, he got down and began to pray. And he got in God's house. And that's right. You've got to start building this thing up until God comes around. Now let's notice here. The verse 12. Here. Notice his humility. Humility right here in this verse. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might. It's kind of nice when you realize there's nothing to you yourself. He said, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Can you imagine a whole bunch of soldiers? And a king? And brother, somebody said, oh, it's a shame for a king to get out here and say, I don't know what to do. I got a whole army, don't know what to do. Oh, my brother in God's army, that's what God wants us to say. He don't want to say, well, we know what to do because we don't know what to do. I don't know how to preach a sermon or run a church if he don't help me.
Yeah.
And oh, we're helpless, saints. You listen to me. We're helpless. God's people need
need someone to help them. And we got to tell God that we just can't make it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't go it alone. And God wants us to rely upon Him. My God wants to lead us like a shepherd. And we find right here, this old boy started to pray. And he said, "Now I can't do it by myself." But he said, "Our eyes are upon me." Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Our eyes are upon me.
Yeah.
All right. Now notice here. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. God give us unity. You get a bunch of folks standing before God. Oh, saying, "Lord, I just want to move. I things aren't like they want, but it's kind of nice, you know, when you realize the test is coming, you better get right with everybody. You better get grandma there and grandpa there. We got folks wondering how to talk to one another sometimes. And boys and girls, and you better get unified if you want God to move. And oh, don't you leave anything in the way where God can't send His blessing. Saints, we need a move of God's Spirit in our generation. If we don't get an old-fashioned move of God, I'm not talking about some little old pumped-up revival that'll be all over when the evangelist is gone. I'm talking about a move of God. I'm talking about something that'll wake you up in the middle of the night with Holy Ghost conviction. I'm talking about something that'll get down there on Skid Row and down in the gutter and bless God, make a decent woman out of a prostitute and make a fine Christian gentleman out of an old sock drunkard. I'm talking about a move of God, and that's what Pentecost needs today, and it still can get it if God, people would get down on their knees and say, "God, we can't make it by ourselves. We need a move of God."
Oh, and then I want you to see over here in the 15th verse, they had a preacher come by. Oh, yeah.
Lord.
Brother, he said, "I had to hear God's man." Here's what man of God said, little fellow. He was the son of Zechariah, Jehaziel. He said this. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid,
glory,
nor dismayed,
glory,
by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's."
Yeah.
Lord! You hear that? You know who this fight really belongs to? This is God's fight. You hear what I'm telling you? This is God's fight. But there's something we've got to do before God takes over. This is God's fight. But oh, brother, we've got to get in a certain place before God will come down and take this thing over. And trial is going to come. And I'll tell you, there never was a trial so black there was a purpose behind it all. God wants to show you how bright that morning's going to be. Oh, yes, sir. And it looked real bad here for Jehoshaphat. And he got down, and everybody started to pray. But you show me a group of people that'll get down and humble themselves, and I'll show you a group of people that God will fight for.
Yeah.
If you remember that preacher that took the first submarine ride, and brother, he kind of rubbed his old eyes one time as a whale spew him up there on the beach, and he walked out of the old surf, and he got to land and pulled the old seaweed out of his hand. He said, "God," he said, "that's one more ride, and I'll never doubt you again, and I'll never run again. And I said I wouldn't preach, but oh God, you're going to hear a preacher now." And God said, "Yes, but you're going to keep it short." And he just gave a sermon of 8 words long, and he had to walk 500 miles to preach that one sermon.
What?
You hear me? It was 500 miles to get where he was going to preach. But when he got there, brother, he was so fired up with that message, he just couldn't hardly wait. And he walked through that big old gate, and all Jonah began to preach.
Yeah.
Yes, 40 days.
Yeah.
And Nineveh was going to be destroyed. And his sermon began to ring down the streets, and it began to shake him up right and left. Somebody said, "I think he lost his mind." But somebody said, "No, brother, conviction got a hold of me. This must be God speaking."
Right.
He never gave an altar call. He never said, "God's going to give you a second chance." All he had to say is, "God's going to kill you sinners." In just 40 days, this place is going to be destroyed.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yeah.
And oh, the one old king said, "Well, I'll tell you." He said, now, what's all this mean? 40 days and I'm going to have a kingdom? And I've got the biggest city in the world here in this park in my time? And I'm the biggest king? And brother, I mean, it's 60 miles around here. That's a pretty big area for a city. 60 miles like Los Angeles. And it's a long ways across my kingdom. And I tell you what, if God sent him here and said I was going to die and everybody's going to die and the place is going to be destroyed, if God's going to kill us all, why did he bother to send a preacher? Why did he just kill us if he didn't care? But he must kind of care. You know, he must kind of care. He wouldn't even send somebody. And he didn't say that we could pray. And he didn't say that God would forgive us. But oh, we got nothing to lose. He said, I command that everybody in the kingdom gets down on the knees.
Yeah.
And I want you to put all the dust in your head. And I want you to fast. Somebody said, I can. Well, I don't care what you say, unless you're sick, of course, or carrying a child. But I'll say this, brother, if you can, you better mind God.
Yeah.
And they didn't feed the babies. They didn't feed the horses or cows. But they got down, brother, didn't even give anything to the chickens. They got down and started to pray.
Yeah.
And they said, God, have mercy on us.
Uh-huh.
And they tore the clothes, they rubbed dirt in the hair. And they said, God, save us, forgive us. And when none of them got down on bended knee, brother, the heart of God was touched. And he said, I'm not going to destroy them. That shows you what's going to do. If you get humble before God, he'll stand you. He'll bring an answer. My God is still the same.
Yeah, he is.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, you say that's years ago, yes, but Jesus said the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment against this generation. They, is that right?
Yeah.
They repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Yes, sir.
And a greater than Jonah's here. You say, who are you? Yes, sir. I'm preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Praise the Lord.
And I stand in Jesus Christ's stead. He can't be here now. He preached it 2,000 years ago in his day. And I come as Christ's messenger, as his ambassador, and standing in his stead, saying, be ye reconciled to God. Bringing you a gospel that those folks never heard of. Oh, teaching you a way of salvation that they would have given their blood for. And brother, there's no excuse for folks to be lost now. My God doesn't want you to lose out. He doesn't want you to fall back. You need to know what to do when the trial gets here. All right? This is God's battle. He said, I'll tell you what to do now. Verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, neither be or nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. When you don't know what to do, that's all God's waiting for.
Uh-huh.
Ah, brothers, there's many times, and that's a scary thing. I mean to tell you, brother, it's a scary thing when you get a little old corner and you just can't turn around. You ever had your back to the wall and in the corner? Have you ever been there? Brother, that's when God comes down and takes over. It's really a scary situation when it looks like you haven't got any place to turn. But when you're all holed up in a corner and you don't know where to turn, that's just when God's going to move. And that's when most folks give up, is right there. But if you hold on just another minute or another day, you'll find that God is bringing you out of there with a song and a shout. And you see that God take over for you. By golly, the battle belongs to him. And he don't want to lose this war. That's why he'll take over and help you win it.
Amen.
On the right side was a cliff. On the left side was another cliff. Behind was the enemy, and in front was a big sea. But oh, God told Moses to tell the people there, they were fighting the same old fight. I don't care if it's in Moses' day, or Jehoshaphat's day, or in Balaster's day. It don't matter. My God's still the same.
Yeah.
And his tactics with the devil is still the same. And his way of victory is just the same. And he had Moses tell them to stand still and see the salvation of God.
Yeah.
And the waters rolled on back. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
The waters roll back, and they'll roll back for you.
Yes, glory.
Jehoshaphat bowed his head, verse 18, with his face to the ground. Oh, I kind of like that. I kind of like that. I mean, real old-fashioned humility. Bow them down, brother, on the ground. Get low. Here's faith, and brother, here is a surrender and submission all in here. And brother, God's got to act when you get low before Him. Hear this now. They was waiting for God to take over. And brother, God, He don't take over until you get this machinery going pretty good. No, that's right. And you got to start. Somebody said, well, I'll wait until God kind of puts it on me to pray and convicts me. He may never do it. Did you know sometimes a backslider could feel more like praying than some saints do? Do they ever have conviction, you know, and they feel like praying. A lot of times as a Christian, you might not feel like praying. But you get down because you know it's your duty to pray. A lot of times I don't feel like eating. And I'm not a bit hungry, but I know if I don't, I will get hungry. So I sit down and eat. And oh, brother, I kind of enjoy it after a while. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes you come and you're real hungry. But I want to tell you something. If you get down on your knees and you start to pray, oh, you say, well, I'll pray in the flesh. Well, pray in the flesh. Praise God. And you pretty soon, all of a sudden, you find your voice has got a little power behind it. Isn't that right? And you find it's going. It's not bouncing off the ceiling. It's going somewhere. What does it mean? Well, the Spirit of God's coming into you. And God starts taking over. God starts taking over. If you'd have waited for a real shot there and a jolt to make you get up and testify, well, most of the times you wouldn't testify.
Yeah.
But you get up because you know it's your duty. And many times you've blessed this whole church up. And thank God you've made a lot of people get stronger because you minded God. You got up and God took over. That's the way this works. Here. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Huh? Oh, God's got to act. And brother, the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, they stood up. Praise God to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They didn't have any victory right then. Imagine these folks, they were praising God and the victory wasn't around. God give us the faith and God give us the sense to stick our hands up in the air and praise God whether there's any victory around or not. They had the enemy out there. There wasn't a spear thrown against them, an arrow, or nothing. And brother, it was all outnumbered, but we find God's people start running around with their hands in the air. Ain't that it? That's the way you're going to win this thing. You can't win this thing, brother, with your head hanging down like a whipped mongrel yellow cur. You got to run out and say, God, you're all right. Thank God. And as long as you're all God's man, keep his hands in the air, and they had somebody hold up Moses' hands, they won the victory. And we as Pentecostal people win the victory when our hands are in the air.
Glory.
This is our best weapon, and that's a weapon of praise.
Mm-hmm.
20th verse, I'll be done. They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established here. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. They started to praise God for the victory. And if you folks don't believe this gospel and believe this preaching that comes from across Pentecostal pulpits nowadays, backed up by the Word of God, you can't prosper and you can't be established. You can only get established if you bring the book. Isaiah said the same thing. He said, if ye will not believe, surely you will not be established. And you have to believe this gospel if you're going to be established. You got to believe in one Lord. You got to believe in one faith. You got to believe in one baptism. You got to believe in prayer and consecration if you want to be established in God. Then, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Praise God, I want somebody at the organ, somebody at the piano, get our choir, praise God, get a bunch of folks out here. He said, now, we want singers unto the Lord. They should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord,
for his mercy endureth forever. Mm-hmm. What do you suppose that bunch of sinner enemies out there thought when God's people come running out front? Bless God, praise the Lord. Nobody had a sword or a spear? They're running out of hands in here.
Yeah,
that means that our language God gave up. But here they come running out there, trotting out there saying, praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Well, God's people still act that way, don't they?
Yes.
They still act that way.
Yes.
But that's the way, brother, to get out of the trial. You can just put your head down and groan and cry the money drops all you want to. But if you're going with God, you're going to have to know, thank God, I'm committed. Just stick your hands up and say, praise the Lord. Thank God. Well, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. God come down, and brother, he whipped the enemy for it. Yes, sir. I'm glad I know what to do when a trial comes. Thank God. I search my heart, and I get right with God. And I'll repent, and I'll look at the book, and I'll tell God all about it. Oh, yes, I will. And I'll get somebody to pray with me, and we'll get right with God and man, and we'll sing a little bit, and thank God. We've got a God that can, he can shake a jail, bless God, and get them out of there. He can bring them out of the fiery furnace and get a lion just as can. And thank God you have your hands in the air. Tell me this, man. We've got a God that will deliver when trial comes. I hope and pray as we get ready for the song that I've said a little something maybe that can encourage the people of God and say, this is what I need.